back to New World next week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. If I have to choose the vaccine or chip, I'm going to choose death. We have got that MIA story. Plus, if they could see me now aboard a virus cruise. But first, the food inflation crisis. All the investors will soon be talking about. America isn't starving. There's plenty of beef, wheat, and eggs. At the moment, food inflation is lower than core inflation, but Americans are still living with much higher prices, up around 20% since 2022. The once and future king, DJ Trump, is right when he says the U.S. doesn't rely on the Strait of Hormuz for its agricultural needs, but Europe and Asia do. And they will outbid American farmers for fuel and fertilizer, forcing food higher prices for everybody, including Americans. Anyone who knows a farmer has heard stories of the worst year ever. But now American farmers are facing their most serious crisis since the 1980s, when we last had that actor president who acted like he cared about the common man. Production costs were already rising before the Iran war and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Many farmers still waiting on loans, unable to lock in fertilizer prices before they spiked. Kind of like how I was lucky enough to fill up my tank of gas right before the Iran war broke out. A newly released Farm Bureau survey of 5,700 U.S. farmers said 70% of farmers won't be able to afford all the fertilizer they need this year. Many are reducing planting acres, thus potentially meaning less food moving through the supply chain and higher prices for what does make it to market. The Ukraine war offers a parallel. Ukraine, a major exporter of grain and other agricultural needs, after Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, concern grew that Europe and Africa wouldn't get wheat and that American farmers would fall short of fertilizer like urea and ammonium nitrate, PN poop, which Ukraine sold globally. So what happened? Corn futures rose above $7 a bushel in early 2022 as commodities traders weighed fertilizer shortages and supply disruptions. Wheat prices surged to record highs above $13 a bushel in early 2022, but prices corrected in less than a year. Corn futures currently about $4.80 and wheat futures $6.30. Still, the Ukraine war does underscore how quickly grain markets can react when fertilizer supply and geopolitical risks collide. The price of urea, a key starting material in fertilizer, last month hit its highest point since, again, September 2022. USDA Secretary, that is the Department of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins said last week that plans are in the works to increase access to fertilizer and lower prices via Jones Act waivers and Venezuela sanctions relief. But by the looks of things, this doesn't seem like it'll bring much relief because, in related news, U.S. insists Iran ceasefire not over despite attacks going on in the Strait of Hormuz, but luckily we won't really need any food in the Brave New World Order anyway. Amsterdam bans ads for meat and fossil fuels in a sweeping crackdown, of course, part of their plan to reach carbon neutrality by 2030. Oh, they're not going to make that date. They're shooting for 2050 now to cut meat consumption in half. James, I mean, that's a little miniature New World Next Week episode right there in the first segment.
It basically is. It ties everything, all the different parts of this moving agenda up so well, doesn't it? And including, of course, you thought it was over, but no, they're still pushing ahead with the Malthusian climate catastrophe. You've got to eat bugs to save the weather gods or something. I don't know, which is weird, particularly weird because I don't know if you saw this, but apparently the IPCC is now admitting that they're completely implausible, improbable RCP 8.5 pathway assumptions model that they've used as the basis for all their climate modeling. And oh my God, we're all going to die. They've admitted it's wrong now. And oh, but you know, whatever, details, schmetails. So, but no, they're still pushing it. And they're still telling you that eating meat is terrible. And it's going to, you know, it's bad for the weather or whatever they're saying. Which is a good thing because, hey, we can't afford to have cheap prices on food anymore, including beef. And yeah, for Americans, it's not like you depend on the stuff coming from the Strait of Hormuz, but you are part of a global system in which there are these types of knock-on price effects and other things besides. I'll throw in this related, no quick fixes. Supply chain deep dive shows beef prices to remain high. Again, obviously coming from the American perspective here. We're all familiar with the surge in beef prices driven by a U.S. cattle herd at more than half a century low amid severe drought, elevated feed costs, higher financing expenses, and other inflationary factors such as soaring diesel prices, squeezing ranchers. A new Bloomberg report helps explain why beef prices are likely to remain sticky. The U.S. cattle herd has fallen to its lowest level in 75 years. And they have a quote in here. It's not just that the animals take a long time to grow. The complicated economics of cattle ranching also create certain pain points at key stages of production. So, of course, there's the beef prices. There's food prices generally. Obviously, again, not just in the United States, but all around the world. You know, Latin America, Southeast Asia, Africa are all going to definitely be feeling the pinch directly from the Hormuz crisis. Japan, no exception. And of course, Japan is worried about rice and rice shortages and rice supply and whether we have enough rice and the fertilizer and materials that will be needed to grow more rice, etc. So yes, an existential food crisis on the horizon. And this all ties in nicely with the 2030 agenda to make us live in our sustainable hovels and grovel for our food from the government. So, you know, it looks like all guns blazing, all everything's on go for 2030.
Grovel hovels. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. You, man, I've talked about it a little bit. CastBot has done amazing work for us here in the rather remote areas of northern New Mexico. She knows our rancher. On a first-name basis, that's who we buy our meat from, and we actually just got some recently and filled up the deep freeze in the garage. Someone in my Monarchy Memes room, the controversial, spicy Monarchy Memes room, was the meme of Arnold Schwarzenegger from Commando putting on all his camo, strapping up, getting everything on to go after that guy who unleashed those ticks that gave me a meat allergy so I can't eat meat. And we talked about this on my morning show as well. Farmers skipping this growing season because they can already look at it. They can already forecast and say, I ain't going to make money. I ain't even going to break even. So I'm just not going to do it at all. I probably don't have to tell you what happens when people stop growing food. We also discussed pretty recently Walmart using digital price tags. Every single store across America, nearly like 5,000 of them, claim they're all going to switch over to digital price tags, which brings the fear of surge pricing. Digital price tags, of course, already been in place in places like Best Buy with higher sort of consumer items that aren't volatile commodities, or at least not yet. That is how we get going on this New World Next Week, episode 629, our second story from the Associated Press. Everything we say and play, everything we talk about, always sourced and cited down in the show notes. Deadly hantavirus outbreak unfolded on cruise ship weeks before it was identified. I was like, why are we talking about this kind of tabloid National Enquirer kind of story? You'll see. A deadly outbreak of the rare hantavirus, H-A-N-T-A virus, unfolded over the course of weeks on a cruise ship that sailed from Argentina towards Antarctica and then across the Atlantic Ocean, stopping at or near remote islands on the way as passenger and crew members fell sick. This according to information from the cruise operator, the World Health Organization, and ship tracking data. It shows nearly a month passed between when an elderly Dutchman fell sick and died in the South Atlantic and lab tests in South Africa, more than 2,000 American miles away, confirmed hantavirus infections. Three passengers in total have died. One is in intensive care in a South African hospital. Three other still on the cruise ship have shown symptoms and were waiting for evacuations, please. Nearly 150 passengers and crew members from 23 countries were on the ship, which is waiting off the coast of West Africa. Hantavirus is spread by rodents. People can get it through contact with infected rodents, saliva, urea, or, you know, their nitrogen fertilizer. It doesn't usually spread from person to person, but some health authorities say such transmission could be possible. World Health Organization tracing over 80 people on flight taken by hantavirus victim. So basically, we've gone from trains to low luxury cruise lines. James, are all the soft targets being shorn up? The World Health Organization keeping an eye on Carnival cruise lines?
Yeah. And let's not forget airplanes and all the, you know, Spirit Airlines going under. So, yes, they are covering all the bases. And yes, of course, cruise lines. And specifically, this story stood out to me because certainly here in Japan, the scamdemic really kicked off with the Diamond Princess cruise ship incident. And, you know, the people that all got sick with the deadly scamdemic on the seas. And then ported, they came to port in Japan, and that's where it started spreading in Japan, right? So it's it sounds like the beginning of a at least potential for another scamdemic trigger of some sort. And we'll see. I'm not sure they're going to go with the hantavirus scamdemic, but it is interesting timing because it does seem, I mean, first of all, yes, as I say, Japan is concerned about this because of the previous experience during the scamdemic with the cruises. And so Japan says hantavirus spread risk low, urges public to stay calm. And of course, they're citing not only the Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare, but of course, again, the World Health Organization. So I guess the question is, if they are trying to put another type of virus freak out in people's the public imagination, why are they doing so at this time? It's almost like a public problem reaction solution for something. What is happening? Well, hey, remember that pandemic treaty that passed a year or 2 years ago, whatever it is at this point, that the U.S. doesn't have to worry about because they're pulling out of WHO. The rest of the world is unfortunately on the hook for. But did you know that actually hasn't fully actually finally been finalized yet? They're still working on something called the PABS, the Pathogen Access Benefit Sharing System, Pathogen Access and Benefit Sharing System, the PABS system, which is a part of this, where they're going to share information about ongoing scamdemic spreads and benefits like vaccines and things like this. And so there is still squabbling going over that system. And some countries are saying, well, we should have the ability to choose what we share or under what circumstances or in what way we share things with other people. And you can't do that. It has to be an all or nothing kind of thing. So they're still squabbling about that. And the latest from the WHO itself, apparently they are extending the negotiations on this even further. So I don't know, some kind of, oh my God, won't somebody think of the virus freak out while this is happening does just seem like an interesting timing to me.
And just recently, a Fauci crony has been indicted here in the States, David Morenz. James, we got a lot of relateds we can include on this New World Next Week episode 629. And for our final story, that's where I like to go to the media. Rapper Kid Cudi fires MIA from tour after offensive Republican rant. Grabbing this from The Guardian, rapper Kid Cudi has fired MIA from his tour after the British artist went on a rant that went viral while on stage in Dallas two nights after the show in Albuquerque that we talked about going to right here. While opening up for the hip-hop artist on May 2nd, MIA was booed. This is Dallas, Texas. Was booed after saying, "I've been canceled for many reasons. I never thought I'd be canceled for being a brown Republican voter," as reported by Variety. Kid Cudi confirmed MIA would no longer be accompanying him on the road in a Zuckergram story post along with Big Boy, one half of Outkast. MIA is no longer on this tour. I told my management to send a notice to her team before we started tour that I didn't want anything offensive at my shows. Rapper says he doesn't want anything offensive at his shows because I already knew what time it was and I was assured things were understood. After the last couple of shows, I've been flooded with messages from fans that were upset by her rants. This is, to me, very disappointing, and I won't have someone on my tour making offensive remarks that upsets my fan base. Also, I work with Kanye Hitler. A ton. They've done tons of records together. It's funny, you know, as we've, I believe, talked about Kanye recently. A TikTok post from the May 2nd tour date shows MIA saying, "We can't perform my song illegal, though some of you could be in attendance." After the audience booed, she said, "All right, I'm illegal. Half my team are not here because they didn't get the visa, okay? I want you to know that, all right? So don't listen to what the bots say on the internet." After Kid Cudi's post, MIA responded, "I wrote illegal on the Maya LP, a song back from 2010. You know, back under the deporter-in-chief president. I started this intro to the song with a statement saying, I'm illegal. I said my team hasn't gotten visas yet, then played a song that had lyrics saying, F the law, which I still believe. If the law is unjust, F it." She also replied to a tweet asking if she voted for Trump. That's always the main go-to. "What are you, a Trump supporter now?" I've heard to me from family members. She replied to a tweet asking if she dared vote for Trump. "Don't be an agent of division. I can't vote in the U.S. and 48% of Latin community voted Trump. So you're going to hate all them?" The Guardian has approached MIA's representative for comment. The British artist come under fire in recent years for her inflammatory social media posts. She claimed that COVID-19 was partly caused by the expanding 5G data network and fueled claims that she was a vaccine skeptic with a 2020 tweet that said, "If I have to choose the vaccine or chip, I'm going to choose death." On that same MIA Twitter account, I believe she has retweeted Corbett Report videos. In a 2022 interview with The Guardian, she said that she was, like Morrissey, anti-cancel culture. I think everyone should be having open conversations. We don't all have to, like, build effigies of people and burn them in the street for saying something, going after them like Guy Fawkes because of fear of being seen as the other. Earlier this year, MIA, I mean, just a few weeks ago, joined Major Lazer on stage to perform her mega hit Paper Planes. She drew attention for an unusual outfit, which covered her entire body, which seemed to be from her anti-surveillance clothing brand, Omni, O-H-M-N-I. The fashion line claims to protect the body from 5G, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. The World Health Organization, fresh off their Carnival Booze Cruise operation, has debunked claims that this technology has a negative effect on humans. In April, the musician released her seventh album, the hilariously titled MI7, via her own label, Omni Music. We have been playing all of her new music and really trying to herald her anti-surveillance clothing. Not an ad, but pretty fascinating. She's the one modeling it, too, on the website. Her song, Armor, from her new record, MI7, was already on our Best of 2025. Really, James, she's never been more indie, she's never been more Christian, and she's never been more truther. MIA, James, what do you think?
And she's never been more reviled. I wonder why.
There you go.
Interesting. No, okay. So I'm okay. I think you clarified this, but let's clarify it again. She's British, right?
She is.
She is not an American voter, right?
Correct. Correct.
But so every article that I've read about this, and I was doing a dive trying to figure out exactly what was said and what happened. And every article is quoting her saying something about, like, I've been hated for a lot of things. I never thought I'd be hated for being a brown Republican voter or something like that. If she said that, I would just say, well, that's unfortunate, because I think that brings in the political dimension to this, whereas she has lots of very important and good things to say about, you know, vaccine or chip, I'll choose death and things like that. Those are good messages that people need to hear. And yeah, they're going to get upset about them. But why talk about Republican voter? You're not even a Republican voter. What is going on? Anyway, I don't know. And I won't say that she did say that, because all I've seen of this are all of the, like, TikTok X clips of like 10 seconds of her saying this or that on stage from different angles. And none of them actually say anything that is being reported. As I only saw the part where she's saying, I'm illegal and half my team isn't here because they didn't get visas. And, you know, I was writing about illegal before you kids were born and stuff like this. So I don't know. It's just a weird, weird situation. Like everything else in 2026, all you can get from this are, in terms of sources, are little 5-second clips of this and that. So I'd like to see the full context of what she said and what she actually thinks about these things, rather than having it stuffed into my brain by the writers who are just trying to gin up clickbait articles. So on that note, if MIA wants to clear the record, get in touch with me and or James, and we will be happy to let you air your thoughts as you think them, rather than the way that people are trying to twist them.
Absolutely. James@MediaMonarchy.com. I meant to, but I forgot. I was going to grab. I've got one of her earliest 12-inch singles back from her first record 20 plus some years ago. My only guess, maybe it was trolly, being trolly because you're in Texas, the Israel firsters who will throw you in a cage for daring to use a plant they don't like. James, I'll also include another one, Ice Cube, who said no to the scamdemic. I will not get your shot just so I can continue to make movies. I played a new song of his the other day on the morning show called Freedom from Ice Cube. So it is nice to see James again here in 2026. I mean, they might not be who you would have guessed maybe back in the early 90s, but hey, Morrissey, Billy, MIA, Ice Cube, we will take them. And we'd be proud to stand with them. Kids, we need to talk about New World next week for a moment. We all knew it contained spider eggs, but the Hantavirus? Well, that really came out of left field. So if you're experiencing numbness and or comas, send $5 to Antidote, P.O. Box 189, El Rito, New Mexico, 87530. That is my Simpsons joke. James, were you were already done by season 11. They make a Hantavirus joke. Krusty's bubble gum is infested with weird weird stuff. Remember, always trying to pass off all kinds of media references to you here in the New World Next Week Kingdom. We run newworldnextweek.com, your source for monarchy hoodies and caps and Corbett Report DVDs and USBs. But you might, depending on where you are located, you might be able to bypass New World Next Week for just a moment and head to Derek Brose's activation event in Albuquerque next week, Thursday, May 14th. We'll have Brock cut these in, and I will link it up. Activationtour.org. Derek Brose coming through, and it's actually one of the first main dates after his one-off with the amazing Larkin Rose. Going to be in Albuquerque. This is 1 week from when you'll be watching this, so you will have time to head over to Albuquerque. Go to activationtour.org, and Cassbot will be on site because she's helping with some of the AV at the venue. She's going to bring a miniature version of the New World Next Week store. Corbett, Monarchy, shirts, DVDs, USBs, without shipping and handling charges, without sales tax, cash only on site with Cassbot. And that'd be a really fantastic time. I'm very, very excited about that, James. I think that'd be the first time we actually sort of set up a physical store and exchange goods and services with the people right there, face-to-face. So huge thanks to Cassbot for taking that on. And again, she runs newworldnextweek.com, the brand new Corbett Report USBs 2019. James, I think they're like moments away. So people should probably sign up at newworldnextweek.com. We don't bug you with emails. Honestly, as I've said, we don't bug you as much as we maybe should. But you'll be notified when brand new items are on the store and when new things come in stock. And of course, I play the exclusive audio of these unpublished New World Next Week episodes. Only me, James, and Brock have heard them in the first 24 hours. And you can too if you tune in to MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, that's 629, dude.
Awesome. Shout out to Cassbot for doing what she does with the store. Shout out to Brock for editing these videos. We couldn't do it without the help behind the scenes. So thank you to Cassbot and Brock. And James, I thank you for the stories. I think we'll do it again next week.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care, man.
Take care.